Hollywood, the world around us, really, has a specific way that they expect us all to behave at funerals. The depiction we often see is that mourners at funerals are just bawling their eyes out and are weeping in such a way that is generally inconsolable. So, if this is not the way in which you mourn, if you aren't weeping the entire time, if you're not unable to be consoled, this view, this Hollywood way of mourning, can be very anxiety provoking. This is my experience with mourning, anyways. When I started college, it was a time that I was starting to experience more death and experience death in a different way. Towards the end of my first year in college, one of my dad's running mates, one of his buddies, died. And this was very sudden and very unexpected. And the funeral came and went, and I found I was not mourning in this Hollywood way. I was not weeping and inconsolable. And that produced a lot of anxiety in me. I suffered in my schoolwork just a little bit. I had a little bit of a dip at that time. And I felt like there was something wrong with me. And granted, this was somebody that I knew but didn't know quite as well, at least not quite as well as my father did. But not weeping, not dealing with grief in this open and mournful way, made me feel like there was something wrong inside of me. Now, fast forward to a couple of years later, my grandfather died. Now, this was not sudden, and it was not completely unexpected. But I found that I was mourning in the same way that I had before. But because this was a family member this time, someone that I was much closer to, gave me the chance to think through a little bit more, to think through why it was that I was mourning the way that I was. And I came to this discovery that the reason I wasn't inconsolable in grief, the reason I wasn't just bailing my eyes out with tears, is because I had hope even in these deaths. I realized I had the hope of the resurrection. And that hope was that my loved ones, my friends, all these people who had died around me, that I would see them, that I will see them once again. Once again in the next life, in the resurrected life. Now I tell this story because it hits at two themes. They're very prominent in our readings today. The themes of death and anxiety. Now nowhere in our readings today do we see a holy response given to anxiety more than in Psalm 4, our psalm that we read today. Now, this is a psalm of David. And David lived in a very anxious period of time, a very anxious life. We know of David as a shepherd. And often that gives us an image that's very pastoral. You know, nice open fields, cute fluffy sheep. The reality is a lot different. This is the reason that David was able to defeat Goliath. Because being a shepherd wasn't just this nice, tranquil experience. You had wild animals coming after your sheep. You had to be ready to face down some of the fiercest animals that are out there in the world. That's what David had to live with, to grow up with as a shepherd. And if that weren't enough, eventually he is anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king, to be the king that's going to follow Saul. But Saul doesn't like this. Saul chases after David for the rest of Saul's life. So David is living in this time on the run, mostly in caves. And then fast forward even later on, even after David becomes king, later on, he's dealing with an uprising led by his own son, Absalom. So once again, after all this time, he's once again on the run from somebody else. Now, Psalm 4, in looking at anxiety, tells us the world's response. The world's response is one of fear and anxiety. It's a response, a complaint, really, that things might be better. And we might even read into that, that for some, that things might be better is really things might be as they once were. And yet, David in the psalm doesn't have this same anxiety. So yes, he spent a lot of his life on the run and in caves. But David tells us that he still lies down in peace and immediately falls asleep at night. Even when times are bad for David, he is still trusting in the Lord. Now, nowhere do we have more anxiety, often, as is often the case, as when there's change, when change comes about. We see that in our readings as well. We see a big change in our reading in Acts, when Peter heals this person who's been begging at the temple, begging for years. This is a big change for those around. They recognize this person. They recognize this person who's been healed as this beggar who's been there this whole time. We hear their reaction is one of amazement. Although based on Peter's response to their reaction, we might wonder if that amazement is also confusion and what has occurred. We also see the disciples' reaction to change. That change specifically being the resurrection of our Lord. Their response is to be startled and terrified. The very same reaction we saw in the disciples in a different gospel, in the gospel according to Mark, in our gospel reading for the Easter vigil. The greatest change that we see in life, the one that produces oftentimes the most anxiety, is death. Death is also something we hear about in our readings today. Specifically, we hear about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on a cross. This is the thread that is weaved from Acts to 1 John to even our gospel in Luke. In talking about death here, the resurrection is important. The resurrection is important because it gives us hope. It gives us hope in change. It gives us hope in death. In 1 John, we hear that through the resurrection, our sins are forgiven. That we can move past those things that we have done in the past. In Acts, when Peter is talking about the resurrection, we get that further sense of forgiveness. That not only are we moving past those sins, we're being forgiven of them. And Peter points out that those being forgiven are even those who put Jesus to death on that cross. That is the power of the resurrection. That is the power of what God is doing for us. And even though the disciples are startled and fearful and have a great deal of anxiety, not knowing how to react to the risen Lord, Jesus gives them hope. He shows them that he's not a ghost. He's not a ghoul or a specter. He is a living human being, capable of touching and being touched, capable of eating and enjoying a meal. Jesus is showing that even though he has died, there is life after death. He shows them that in a very physical and real way with his presence among them. The point of our readings today is that we don't need anxiety. Instead, we can replace that anxiety with hope. We have that hope because God is present with us. God is present with us even in the worst things that can possibly happen. And we know this because God was present in the form of Jesus, and he died in one of the worst ways imaginable. One of the worst and most painful ways to die. That's how Jesus died on the cross. And because of that, we know we have the hope that even when we're at our most anxious, that even when we're in the worst times of our lives, that God is there. That God is there as a constant present with us. That he will help us make it to that other side, to the resurrected life even. Our readings today are trying to give us hope. So let the word of God do that for you. Breathe out that anxiety. Breathe in that hope that we have through through the resurrection. Even in the worst of it, in the world around us, if we look at the world today, there is a lot that is bad out there. But even in the worst of it, we know that God is there with us to help us through those anxious times until we make it through. Make it through to the end, where we can be with our resurrected Lord in everlasting life.